Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of the Mom Hour. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
That feels momentous to me, doesn't it?
It does. 20.
Yeah. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with my good friend Sarah Powers. And today we're going to be talking about something that, as we're easing back into the school year, is being a lifesaver around here. And that's the idea of mom routines and just routines in general, making your life easier. I think the official title is that we, you know, kind of title the show is a happier mom life through routines or something like that.
So, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Before we get to the main topic, I'm going to turn it over to Sarah for a few minutes and she's going to introduce like our regular segment and that kind of
our highly irregular,
our highly irregular segments.
So sometimes we like to share a product or a website or a service that's making our lives easier as moms. And we don't do this every week, but we've gotten a lot of feedback that you guys like it when we do. We'll always let you know when these things are sponsored. Usually they're not. So they're usually just things that we're using and doing in our real lives that we, you know, those types of things that you think, I just wish everybody knew about this.
Yeah.
So ours are totally different today, as usual. They're kind of always random, but you have something that's making your life better as a mom. What is it, Megan?
It is. Okay. So I feel so cliche about this. And also I can't say it's making my life easier, but right now I'm loving it. I am addicted to LaCroix water.
I don't think you're the only one. I feel like this
is... No, that's why I said I'm a cliche.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I couldn't be more basic if I tried. So I'm currently actually sipping on Blackberry Cucumber LaCroix, which I got at Target. Target has a completely different set of flavors. So here's the thing with LaCroix. It's just sparkling water. That's it. There's no sugar.
Okay.
There's no artificial sweetener. There's not even really... I mean, it is flavored, but it's like... It says naturally essenced, and that's very accurate. It just tastes like a hint of something. And what I love about it is that I want to drink more water, and I actually really like the taste of plain, like lukewarm tap water. I don't like cold water, which is weird. But anyway, but you get sick of it, and I really like. I'm a beverage person. I am a sipper. So if it was, you know, if it wasn't for like good tasting, just water, I would drink tea.
Mm-hmm.
All day. And then at some point I probably switch to wine because I just love the way it tastes.
Right.
And I can't just drink sugar, you know, sweet tea and
caffeine
and wine all day.
Alcohol.
No, that's, it's a recipe
that's
for disaster.
It's not recommended?
No, it's not. I know. So, but the great thing about LaCroix is it has a flavor. It tastes like an adult beverage without booze in it, but it tastes like something. That's the only way I can put it. And there's like, I don't know, they're coming out with all these new flavors now. Shayna from the Style Hour, I got to meet up with her a month or so ago when her family was vacationing in Michigan, and she introduced me to coconut, which sounded weird to me, but actually tasted like a little bit like a pina colada sort of, but just water.
Okay. And so do you drink it out of the can or do you like have a nice
glass? I drink it out of the can. I like drinking things out of the can.
Okay.
I prefer soft drinks out of the can.
Okay.
I know, isn't that weird?
I have all kinds of weird preferences about beverages and what I drink them out of.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't happen to be out of a can, but it's not weird. It's
okay,
just
good. Thank you.
Your preference.
Thank you for validating. So I will just quickly run down the flavors that I love because I know people who are just kind of just discovering LaCroix sometimes get a little stuck on like lime or grapefruit, which are great flavors. But I want you to branch out and try the apricot.
Oh, wow.
Super delicious. And go to Target or another place where they have tall skinny cans. Not every place has these, but Target has them in a couple other, like, I've noticed them at like higher end, I guess, grocery stores. And there's a blackberry cucumber and a cherry lime. And they taste, I don't know how it's possible that they taste sweet when there's nothing sweet.
Right.
But they do.
Right.
They really taste sweet and it's delicious. And I actually Instagrammed a picture the other day of all of the LaCroix cans that were piled up next to my bed because I was working in bed that day, and which I do sometimes. And there was this like huge stack of LaCroix cans just all piled up, which was hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So I just talked for 5 minutes about water.
That's okay. I love it because I know there's other huge fans out there who are like, yes. And then others who are LaCroix curious.
And still others who are like, really? I'm fast forwarding. So.
Okay, so mine is completely from a different like land world altogether. And that is, so this week with my youngest, Violet, who's 2.5, we started Music Together class, which I have to say I'm not a Mommy and Me class person, and I never really have been. I'm like highly suspicious and critical of organized activity. I think we discussed this in our episode where we said we hate fun.
Yes.
But my spiel about Music Together, I learned about it right when I was, I think, first a mom, because I had a family member who was a Music Together teacher. And it's a national program. So teachers are trained nationally. So it's all very standardized across the country. So my aunt happened to live in Oregon, but it doesn't matter. They're all the same. And so I guess what I like about Music Together, there's a few things, is it's for if you like music, like you and I do, Megan, and like to sing, it's not corny kids songs. It feels more kind of like the songs you'd sing like around the campfire or something, like more, you know, Americana,
right?
Folk, like traditional, and some in other languages. So some, like about half the songs are kind of familiar. It's like I've been working on the railroad.
Right. I was actually just gonna throw that out.
Yeah, or some old lullabies. I love the lullabies. So that's one thing I love is it doesn't feel like corny pop baby and kids music.
Yeah.
Like
oh, yeah.
From you know what I mean?
Yes, totally.
And the other thing I love is that the foundation of the program is really based in music theory and how kids learn music, but it's not taught in a way that's pedantic. Do you know what I mean? Like they're not teaching music theory to toddlers, but the teachers are so well trained in how music benefits learning and the brain and movement and behavior. So it has this really kind of academic foundation, but it doesn't come out that way when you're learning. You just know that the teachers, it's not like, I don't know. I don't want to knock other Mommy and Me music programs because I think any way that your kids can run around and sing are great. But as a parent, if you have to participate or if you're choosing to do something like this,
right. This
one just feels really like grounded in some very cool principles and not annoying to participate in. So that is my love affair with Music Together. And I've been doing it. And I don't do it every session by any means. I usually do it with one kid once a year, maybe. So we skip a lot. Since we did move, I've been at Music Together places in both Arizona and California. And it is really nice that the teachers are all trained nationally at the same place in the same program. So the quality is really good. And yeah, it's probably the last time I'll do it, honestly. And like I said, I've never done a lot or very many at all of Mommy and Me programs, but this is just one that's close to my heart. And since it is all over the country, if you're interested, and those of you who are newer moms, you can look it up. It's just musictogether.com and you can find a place near you. The teachers are trained and then they open their own, you know, center or they teach at community centers or whatever.
Sounds cool.
That's my
something I would have liked.
Yeah, it's a really good one. It's a really good one. And like we talked about in our I Hate Fun episode, singing is one thing that I don't mind doing. Mm-hmm. You can always get me to sing with children.
Well, I want it noted that you managed to sum up an entire national program of music for children in 3.5 minutes. And I talked about water for 5 minutes. So Sarah wins.
I win. Ding, ding.
Yep.
This round of our highly irregular segment. So as always, you guys, give us feedback if you like these little segments. We kind of go a long time in between, and then we think we should share something fun. So I think we usually hear that people like hearing what we're enjoying in our lives lately. So we'll, of course, link to both of those things, including the water, at themomhour.com, episode 20. So, all right. Should we transition?
I'm going to let you lead us in.
Okay. I'm going to launch us off and just say that this time of year, we hear a lot about routines for our kids, because obviously if they are school age, they're going back to school. Anybody who has younger than school age toddlers, and you already know that routines can be very useful. But that's not what we're talking about today. For the most part, we're going to be talking about routines for us as moms and how they can help us, how they can sometimes get us in a rut when we need to break from routine. And I think we'll share a lot of our personal routines, because I think it's fun to kind of get a peek into how somebody else, you know, runs their mom life and what are the rhythms. I like the word rhythm and ritual also in this mix, because I think that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about creating positive routines. It's not just like brush your teeth every night routine. And I also want to say kind of a little disclaimer at the top that you and I are both home during the day a lot. We're either working from home or home with kids. But most of what we're talking about really applies whether you're outside the home or at home, because really it's about sort of creating rhythms that support the family and that get you what you need as a mom. And so I think some of our personal stories are more from an at-home perspective, but really the conversation is for everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just start with this. Are you a routine person, Megan?
When I am functioning at my most healthy way, I have a very basic routine that I allow myself to kind of go off the rails a little bit every now and then reset.
Mm-hmm. So does it feel good this time of year to be reset?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yes. And you know, it's funny. I was just talking with somebody about this the other day. Like, I feel like some people do really well just kind of slow and steady. Like, they get in their routine and they just stick to it. And I, you know, we've talked about this before. I'm a little bit of a rebel. I have that rebellious tendency. And at some point I have to ditch it and completely fall apart and then like pull myself up by the bootstraps and get back on it. And that's part of my routine. I've noticed that's my big picture routine, you know, is like the ebb and flow that goes on over a year.
Absolutely.
But right now we're definitely getting back into like the bedtimes and the, you know, and not for the kids, but for me. And honestly, you know, I really feel like for me, my routine begins the night before that really sets it up. Right. And we can get into all kinds of philosophical talk about early, you know, night people versus morning people and getting up early and going to bed early and all that stuff. I will say that I have kind of come to embrace the idea that if I didn't have to have any kind of a routine, like if I just could do whatever I wanted and didn't have children and didn't have to get up in the morning for any reason, probably going to bed around 1 and getting up around 9 would be probably about my bed, like my sweet spot. Right. But that's not life. And I can't do that.
Right.
So I can't stay up until 1 and expect to get up the next day at 7. That's just not really going to work for me because I need more sleep than that. I'm very dependent on a good night's sleep. And for me, good is about 8 hours.
Right.
So what I'm kind of settling into is going to sleep around 10 and getting up around 7:30.
Okay.
Which actually is a lot of sleep, but I don't fall asleep at 10. You know what I mean? I'm in bed and I might lay there and read a little bit or watch a show with John or something like that and fall asleep more like 1. I'm sorry, more like 11.
Ah! I was like, whoa,
no. And then 3 hours go by and next thing you know, no, that does happen sometimes when we're watching really interesting programming. But that just kind of sets me up. Like, I feel like if I stay up, if I stay, like, vertical any later than 10, I'll just start eating and drinking. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's really hard not to just sit there and sip and, you know, eat and snack. You get hungry again. Sarah's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm 10. I'm actually picturing, I don't know what you're talking about with the late night, but I was picturing my ice cream, my nightly ice cream ritual when you were talking about eating and I was thinking about ice cream. So
if I can just go to bed before that even hits, I'm good. And I've also kind of come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to be like a super early riser and that's okay. You know, I feel like there's almost this value judgment we're kind of beat over the head with, where if you just get up earlier, all of your problems are solved. And, you know, the virtuous people get the Ben Franklin thing. I mean, virtuous people get up early and all of us lazy slobs who like to sleep past, you know, 7:30 or 8, you know, we'll never be successful. We'll never get stuff done. And I've just kind of decided as long as I'm up and functioning early enough that I can get my kids where they need to be on time and then still have a stretch of day ahead of me, that's enough, then I'm good. Right. So, gosh, I just spent a lot of time just talking about nighttime and getting up in the morning. But
that's the like fundamentals, right? And we're definitely going to talk about it. But I think what you said too is so much about the rhythm of your energy and the rhythm of the day. And that's so funny that you say it starts the night before, because that like again with the way my energy patterns work, that would never be the way I think about it. Because for me, like I start at the top, it starts in the morning. And one of the things we're going to talk about like common advice that doesn't work for us. And this is kind of what we're talking about. But for you, like getting up early or becoming a morning person just isn't the best plan probably. Right. For me, I do not do things the night before. So all the common routine advice about packing lunches the night before, getting the backpacks ready, I don't do it. And I don't feel bad about it really, because I can't do anything at night. Like in the same way that people can't do anything in the morning. Like, you know, they say like, I can't function until 10 o'clock. I can't function after, I can stay awake and watch TV, but I'm not once, even really after like 8 or 8:30, there's just not anything productive happening. No
right.
work.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So,
and I'm definitely more of a night person, but I've become the same way in my 30s. Like, there comes a point where it's, you know, I'm alive.
Right.
I probably have some kind of cognitive function going on, but that's not the time of night I want to be making lunches and stuff. I don't right. want to do that at night, especially after like the kitchen's been closed down.
Right.
It's done. You know, I've like kind of, I've just pulled the curtain on that.
Right.
And now it's time to move on to the evening portion
right.
of the proceedings. So
right.
I get that totally.
So tell me about your morning. So now let's go from night to morning.
Sure.
So just for fun, talk us through the morning routine in your house, mostly yours, but obviously yeah. other people are involved in that. So yeah. what does it look like for you?
Well, right. Things are in flux, right? Because right now I've got a middle schooler again, and I didn't for a while. So I've got two in high school, one in middle school, and two in elementary school. And William is the middle schooler, and he's the only one who takes the bus, and he has to get the bus at 6:45.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Luckily, he's the kid we talked about in our
yeah.
last episode. Mm-hmm. He's the one who puts himself to bed, like, no problem, goes to sleep on time, gets himself up in the morning. And it's so funny, like, the last few days, he's been gone before I even wake up. He doesn't wake me up. And I don't wake up before 6:30 unless something wakes me up.
Right.
And so I just let him know, you know, Will, if you need anything in the morning, come in, or come in and say, you know, come in and let me know you're going and say goodbye. Right. And I think he kind of comes in and shuffles in and mumbles something and goes. So I'm aware that he's gone.
Right.
But the last few days I have not been like fully up yet when he goes, which is a little disorienting, but it is, you know, he's almost 12 he's, and this
yeah.
is part of him
yeah.
becoming more independent, and he's doing an awesome job at it. So that's great. The next group is Jacob and Isaac, and they go to school. They have to be there at like 7:40.
Okay.
So I'm usually waking up like around 7:10 or so.
Okay.
And I'm kind of, you know, and it's funny because like I've also never been one of those morning people who can't function in the morning. Like once I'm standing,
mm-hmm.
I'm cheerful, you know, I mean, I
yeah.
can talk to you and like do put something in your backpack or whatever.
Right.
It's just for me making getting myself awake and out of
right.
bed is the hard part. So anyway, so I'll be kind of up just puttering around while they're doing that. I'll make my tea. And I'll start getting things ready for the littler group. So mm-hmm. Jacob and Isaac go off at like 7:40. Sometimes they get a ride from friends, sometimes they walk. Sometimes well, one of us will drive them if the weather's bad. And then we start the two little ones who have to be to school at 8:25. And
okay.
technically they could walk. It's about a 3/4 mile walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't let them yet just because Clara's still – I don't know how well Owen would do if Clara decided to just – have a mind of her own and stop at a
right.
friend's house to talk or
right.
something. I don't think
right.
he would keep the process
right.
going yet, like William would have, you
right.
know? So
right.
I haven't done that. I don't know if that'll last all year or if I'll just keep, you know, taking them for now. But so my whole routine before getting them off is just basically talking to them, you know, puttering,
mm-hmm.
maybe taking a look at stuff I didn't get around to the night before.
Do you eat your breakfast in this time?
I usually do, but if I'm rushed for any reason, I might wait. But I always make a cup of tea, and Clara has tea in the morning. Well, hers is mostly milk. Hers is. We've done that together since she was two.
So cute.
I know. She always has tea and toast, and it's funny because my tea, it's usually like I'll make my cup of tea, and then when the tea bag is like used up, I put it in some water for her, and then it's mostly milk. And
I love it.
Yeah, I know, it's cute. And then... So I'll be kind of drinking my tea and maybe eating a piece of toast or whatever if I'm not going to have a bigger breakfast. And then the kids go off to school, and that's kind of when my day starts. And I really have just been jumping right into work. And that's something
mm-hmm.
where I know, you know, another thing that I run into is the whole working out thing is people are always saying you should go first thing in the morning. But every other mom in town goes first thing in the morning.
Yes.
So I don't want to be there then. I don't like being at the gym when it's crowded.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me not want to go. Also, I don't like to go on a full stomach, and I really can't work out on a completely empty,
right.
like from the night before stomach. So I've been just working all morning. On the days where you and I talk, you know, we talk around noon on a Friday. So that day's a little bit different. But otherwise,
mm-hmm.
this would be the time I'd be starting to get ready to go to the gym. And I'll go to the gym like around 1 and then be home. You know, I'll take my shower
mm-hmm.
there. And then kids start getting picked up around, you know, 3:30 or 4. So... the day just isn't as long as it seems like it should be, right?
And
it would be longer if I got up super early. I get that. But again, what I found for me is if I get up really early, I just want to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
So then I end up losing time anyway. You know, either way, I feel like I've figured out how much sleep I need. And I'm going to need that whether I get it all at night or I get some of it at night and I get some in the day. And I'd rather not nap if I don't have to.
Right.
So And I only covered like part of the day.
No, okay, I think morning routines are fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think there's like, you know, there's like books written about your morning routine. But I think listening to somebody else's and figuring out what works for your own. So I'll just share a little bit of mine. So I feel like for the first time I'm kind of in charge of my morning routine for the first time in like 7 years. And that is because I've always had early risers. I feel like I talk about sleep all the time on this show, but I have bad sleepers and early risers for the last 7.5 years. So even though, ironically, I am a morning person, my natural, like you said, 1 to 9, what did you say? 1 to 9 would be your normal sleep hours. Mine would probably be like 10 to 5:30, 10 to 6, okay, which is still, that's 8 hours, you know, so that's a good amount of sleep. The nice thing is that fits in well, like unlike you were saying, you know, that's not real life. My sleep patterns do fit in with real life, but I've always thought if I had kids that slept till 7:30, I could have like solved world peace by now,
right?
Because it's easy for me to get up at 6 or even 5:30. Problem was, my kids didn't sleep through the night for 1,000 years. And even when they did, they were up at 5. And so this has been, you know, many years. And we've always tried with our kids to say that 6 o'clock is the earliest that we'll ever talk to you in the morning. In other words, you can be, and we've gotten those little clocks that change color at a certain time. And it's actually worked well. So even our early risers do stay in their rooms till 6 once they're like able to kind of understand that. But I've had somebody getting up at 5 a.m. for most of my motherhood life. So there's been no, like the common advice of getting up before your kids, I've always thought, well, that sounds really nice and something that I would actually like to do.
Except.
But not when my kids get up at 5, because I'm not getting up at 4. I mean, people, let's draw the line somewhere.
Right.
So fast forward, Violet sleeps till 6, or at least if she's not awake, she has a little nightlight that turns into a sun that once I wrote a whole post about years ago that I can link to. But when the sun turns on at 6 o'clock. So she is in there till 6, even if she is awake. And I know for some people who have later sleeping kids, that sounds so early, but honestly for us, it's progress. And so Brian and I, for the last, I don't know, 6 or 9 months, have been getting up at 5. He works out, he goes to the gym at 5, and his alarm goes off, and then he gets his gym clothes on, and that's just 5 minutes for me to like realize it's time. And the coffee is programmed the night before, so it's ready. So I come down at 10 after 5, and I've been having a cup of coffee and reading a book until 6 o'clock, which again is something that I've like heard is possible.
You've heard is possible.
And
you didn't
now,
believe it, but then it came
now
through.
Is actually, you know how some people have like home envy over other people's like, you know, Instagram or Pinterest streams, like beautiful houses. I always had like the envy when people would post that picture of like their cup of coffee and their book early in the morning. Like, I want to be doing that. So I am now. So that's, that is our morning routine now, but it's only been the last few months, and it's because finally people sleep and everybody stays in their room, and my kids naturally wake up between 6 and 6:30, all three of them. It seems like somebody always sleeps until 7, but never all of them, of course, because that would be way too easy. Allegra gets up. She's the earliest. She and Brian takes her to school, and they leave about 7:25. So if she's not up at 7, I need to get her up anyway. But most of the time, they're all three naturally waking up between 6 and 6:30. But
that's so funny. My kids have never been early risers.
I know.
Which works for me, and yours worked for you.
Exactly. And so much of that is I probably made them that way with the early bedtimes and my, you know, so it's all, we've all done, I've done it to myself, but, so yeah, it's kind of nice. And I guess that's just a long way of saying that, that positive shift in my routine took a long time to get to, but I do feel like, again, it's sort of a cliche, like that you'll always read, get up an hour before your kids and have your own time. And I know for me with the coffee and the caffeine, I don't drink a lot of coffee throughout the day, but I'm very dependent on that first cup. And it used to be that I was having my coffee while people were already all climbing on me. And to have it now, an hour before, and be fully caffeinated by the time they come downstairs is like, I'm like a different person, I tell you.
Oh, that's funny.
So, so it's nice. And I think, I guess if there's any advice in there, it is that if you're not there yet, that day will come. And if you are a natural morning person, man, it works, you know, to have that hour. I've been reading more than I have in years. And that's because I'm not going to do it at night. I'm not going to read at night or, you know, have my time. So that is when I've been grabbing it. So it's been good.
You know, I will say like for me, now that my kids are older and in school, the idea of having that time for myself in the morning is like not really very important anymore.
Right. Right.
Because I know I'm going to get it. You know, if I get it, even if I know the whole first hour after I wake up is basically going to be dealing with kids and talking to kids and like loading up their backpacks and stuff, I know at some point there's going to be that moment where they're all out of the house. But it was more like in the summer, I had to, you know, I had to kind of be careful to make sure to get that in. It was very easy in the summer because My kids would sleep in all day in the summer if I let them. So it was really easy for me to get up before them in the summer.
Right.
And it was really important to me when I had little kids at home.
Right.
I made a bigger, much bigger effort to make that time before I jumped into my work day. But now I'm just kind of, by the time they're out, I'm just excited to get to it.
Right.
And see what's going on and, you know, see what we, so I've usually got music going. John and I kind of battle out who's going to get to, you know, depends who gets up first, who gets the Bose speaker and has their music playing. And John likes to play like upbeat stuff and I play my 70s light rock or whatever. My playlist called Breakfast Making Jams, which I've talked about. And somebody asked me if I could share that and I have not figured out yet how to share a playlist because it's collaborative and I don't want the whole world being able to, you know, collaborate on it.
Right.
So to figure out a way to like clone it so that I can make it because it's a great, it's if I do say so.
I bet we can. I bet you can do that.
Yeah, there's got to be a way. I'll look into that because I know a listener was wanting that list. It's like 5 hours long now. So,
I love it. Well, yeah. I was going to say something about music, but I didn't want to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But, so one of the things that I think I wanted to make sure we address is that routines don't have to be daily. And the way my mind works, I think in weeks. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, like there's a rhythm to the week, but I'm especially kind of anchored in the rhythm of a week. And we have a pretty traditional, you know, my husband is out of the house working the work week and we have our weekends as a family. So I am much more, if you ask me if I'm kind of attached to my routine, it's much more in the scope of a week than a day. Like I'm fine with days being different, but I do really like the rhythm of a week. And I was going to bring up my Show Tunes Friday tradition because you and I, we've talked about Broadway music.
Yes.
And you did an episode of the Home Hour that was fantastic. But I listen to my favorite music on Fridays. Every Friday, I listen to Broadway music. And that, like, looking forward to something on the Friday. I love Mondays and I love Fridays. Those are probably my two favorite days, which is kind of weird.
I know. I love Mondays and Fridays, too. Like, one's the beginning and one's the rest. Yeah. You know, the end and everything else is kind of whatever.
Yeah. And so whatever, I know that there's a point to that, except that music reminded me. And music is a great anchor for routine. So if you have your like Saturday morning jams or your breakfast making jams, or I have my Friday show tunes, or we have a playlist that comes on automatically actually in the evening upstairs. So by the time the kids get upstairs, there's really mellow music playing and I don't even put it on. It comes on automatically. So I think music is a great way to anchor your routine. So if you have, you know, if you need more energy at a certain time of day, like put on that playlist, I guess.
No, I think it's important that we acknowledge that, a lot of people listening to this right now, it's great for us to have our own routines, but we still, unless you're me and all your kids are in school all day, you still have to like make your routine work around your kids.
Yes.
So maybe we need to take a step back as well. I mean, I know you're still there with Violet being home, but she's probably a little easier to work around than she was a year or two ago. So how does it look in your house with that? And then while you're talking about, you know, how you work around Violet and how you guys' routines work together, I'll try to go back in time in my mind.
Yes.
And remember what it was like when I had a whole bunch of kids underfoot. We had, everything changes and everything's in flux all the time.
Yes. No, I think that's one of the biggest, if there's something that's unsettling in new motherhood, I think that's one of the biggest one. Being in control of your time and in control of your routines and then just having that ripped away from you. And I guess for me, the first like 6 to 9 months are just completely lacking in rhythm and routine. And that gets really hard. It's kind of okay in the beginning because you're so, it's like you don't expect it. But there was always a point for me, and actually we talked about this in our new mom episode last week, where I was just itching for a little bit more structure. And that's when kind of nap schedules came into play and other things. So
for me, it was the gym. That was when I really started to kind of rely on that daily. First of all, because you get a little break.
Right.
If they have a gym daycare. But also because it's just something to peg yes. the day too, to, and everything
I,
else.
And that's what it is. I think that's a really good way to think of it. If you, it's scary when you're in new motherhood to look at that day, either literally on a calendar or figuratively, and have nothing in it. And I'm actually, I like less schedule and I'm a homebody, but still, even for me, like there's got to be something there. And that's the pinpoint or the anchor mm-hmm. that other things can work around. Then you can plan your naps and you can plan your, I guess for me, because my older two have been in school for a little while now, that again, that's something, that's enough of a structure that other things fit around. But man, it is hard in those first couple years when you have to create the structure. And yeah. if your natural rhythms don't match up with babies, man, that's hard. Yeah. I don't know that I have an answer to that, except that I think you're really right, that finding one thing, whether it's something you do outside the house or just getting on a nap schedule, if that's what helps feel like you know what's going to happen, just to artificially create that routine. And don't get too married to it, because, oh my gosh, those first like 2 years, it's like by the time you think you've landed on something, right. the baby changes, right? Or you yeah. get pregnant and have another baby.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I'm thinking back to when, and I agree with you, like first 6 to 9 months, all bets are off. For me, it might have even been more like a year, where it was yeah. like I would start maybe around 6 months trying to get that gym going back, because mm-hmm. I did find that helped me a lot, just getting out, getting to where I didn't have to be the one physically holding or following around right. the baby or whatever right. it was, and just being able to take some time to like take care of myself. And it didn't go every day, but I would usually go like 3 days a week, and go, you know, like that first, when you get to take a shower all by yourself yeah. in gym daycare or at the gym, locker room. And you're yeah. like, wait, you kind of feel guilty about it. Like, yeah. wait, where's my kid? Yeah. yeah. Being well cared for, yeah. you know, 500 feet away.
Right.
So that was a big one for me. But really, I think that around a year was when I remember really getting into like things that would help me kind of make sense of my day. For example, around 10:30, I would go and clean up the kitchen from breakfast. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it right away, because for me, that was always kind of a bummer.
Like I don't do it right away either.
Get up in the morning and everyone eats breakfast, and then some kids run off to school and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do the dishes right then. So I would wait until like a little lull, and that would be time that I would spend usually with the toddler in the mm-hmm. room. It would mm-hmm. be like our time together. Then maybe after that, there would be something we would do sort of together. And then we would have like our separate time where when mm-hmm. if they were really little, they would play, or like, you know, I just toss toys or snacks or whatever at them while I tried to check email or whatever. And when they got a little older, that was video time, or that right. was whatever, you know, independent playtime. Clara is so good at, she kind of has spoiled my memory for this kind of thing mm-hmm. because she was fantastic at just like amusing herself. She's got a little craft area, and as she calls it, and it's where all of her little junk is. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just like scraps of paper and crayons and scissors and little My Little's Pet Shop people and stuff. But even when she was really little, she would kind of have her little spot where she would go and just do crap. All yeah. I don't even know what she yeah. was doing. The boys did not do that.
Yeah.
It was not, that didn't happen with them. So it had to be a lot more intentional on my part. I'd have to set them up with something.
Right. And you have to just push through it. I think that's one right. of the most common questions we get from moms of toddlers is like, when are they going to be able to play by themselves? And it's never as soon as you want,
right.
but it does happen. Don't
it does
think?
Happen. Oh,
and
yeah.
some kids are just better at it than others.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, between 2.5 and 3 is a big shift. It's not that they can't do it before that or that they're perfect after, but that seems to be a turning point for my kids. Reed was earlier. He was really independent. He was so easy in that way. But the girls, I would say 2.5 and 3 mm-hmm. is like a growth spurt in that area.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Where they can kind of like, they start to kind of concoct little narratives in their yeah. heads, and then they
yeah. and you can pop really in and cute. Out, but right. don't have to
yep.
direct the cruise ship.
Exactly. I will say it was one thing that was good for me is having the two boys in groups
mm-hmm.
because then the younger kind of got into yeah. the mix a mm-hmm. lot sooner, you know? Mm-hmm. So like at one, Owen and Isaac, who were the younger of the set, would be playing much more independently right. than their older siblings had at that same age, because right. well, they weren't independent. They were together. They were with
right.
everybody.
Right.
So that worked out really well. For slightly older kids, man, at that age, when I had like 2-3-year-olds, I was the queen of please bring your kid to my house. So I had a friend who we did for years. We did a regular swap where she would mm-hmm. take mine a day or two a week and I would take hers. And I loved it. I loved the days she had my kids and I loved the days I had her kids because mm-hmm. it made everything that much easier just to mm-hmm. give your little ones someone to tumble around with.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Right. No, I think that's a great idea. The other thing in that same topic that I wanted to say is about doing, when you said you don't do the dishes right away, because I don't either in the morning. But sometimes the more menial or mindless tasks are better for when your energy is lower, right? So yeah. I tend to have a lot more like creative intellectual energy in the morning, and I'm more likely to ignore all of that stuff even until like after lunch. And then I have Violet's naps, which I'm definitely working, not naps, one nap, I'm definitely working during that time. So I may not do breakfast dishes till like 2:30, 3 o'clock. So you can all gasp out there. But then I'm using more physical energy. The kids are coming home from school. We're talking, and I'm like back in charge in a more like tangible, right, physical way of my house. And that works with my energy patterns because I've got more brain power for things, you know, like work or emails or whatever it is, home management at a more like cerebral level in the morning. And then just put me to work in the afternoon and I'll do the dishes and I'll, you know, pick up the house and all of that. So I think we're finding where kind of the energy levels can match with a routine that works.
And I think sometimes, especially if you have a job where you're sedentary, like I'm, you know, I write, so I'm sitting a lot. Sometimes when you start to have a super big slump, getting up and doing something meaningful can actually give you some of that energy back. And that's one way I kind of test it out. Like, do I need a nap or do I just need to get up and go load the dishwasher or put a load of laundry in? And then I'll do that. And when I get back, if I still really want the nap, I've gotten really good at power naps. Mm-hmm. So I can lay down on my bed, kind of conk over on my pillow. It has to feel like a nap and not like going to bed at night. I'm so specific in the way I'll do it. So, and then if I, you know, kind of come to and I've been drooling, I know it was successful. And sometimes it's like 20 minutes.
I have a question. Like, why do you only drool in naps?
I don't know.
Is this true? Okay, listeners, this is a question of eternal significance. I'm borrowing that phrase from Kristen Howerton, who occasionally does those on her blog.
Yeah.
The questions are neither eternal nor significant. But why? Why, people?
I kind of wonder if maybe we drool every time we sleep, but we don't notice it except for when we nap, because when you do it in a regular night's sleep, you probably roll over in it, and you know what I mean? Like,
that's like such a common sense. Why have I never thought of that?
Well, I just thought of it just now.
This is really, like, pun intended, kept me up at night. I really wondered that a lot.
I will get a major drool on if I have a super successful power nap, and I will wake up, like, in it. It's disgusting. But, hey, it's a symptom that it went really well, so I feel great after that happens. And, you know, for me, napping well was something – it took work to learn how to nap well, and I powered through it. I really stuck to the plan.
I was committed,
and I finally learned how to nap well. It used to be like taking a nap would be this long process. Like, I'd have to like lower the blinds, get under the covers, you know, put pajamas on, get all cuddly, and then I'd fall asleep and sleep for like 2 hours. And when I woke up, I'd feel like crap.
Yeah.
So I've gotten really good at just conking out. Now, part of that might be just because I'm getting older and I maybe just need it more. I don't know.
Well, and I think there's a major psychological part of naps, which is if there are children in the house who might possibly need you. I mean, that's like why it's a load of, you know what, to sleep when the baby sleeps for a lot of people, because it's like if you know that someone might need you even in 30 minutes, it's just really hard. I fall asleep really easily at night, but it could take me forever to fall asleep, even if I knew I needed one to nap, because I knew somebody was going to need me soon. So I would
need a space of
4 hours to take a 45-minute nap, just because I'd need to know that it wasn't going to get interrupted.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, you're totally right. And sometimes I'll get a nap attack now, even like in the evening, and you know, this happens to me a lot. I call it nap attack. I spend about half of my time working, sitting up at my desk, and I spend about half of my time working in bed. And it's so weird, but the reason for it is I feel like if I'm doing really creative work, like really creative writing, I can only do it if my feet are up. And if I'm semi-reclined. I don't know why. It's like this mental thing for me. When I was doing the most, like the bulk of my, I think it's because when I was doing the bulk of my most personal kind of writing back when I was blogging more heavily and stuff and I had little kids, I just happened to be hanging around the bed a lot. I didn't have a desk. I didn't have a office space in the house we were living in then. So it was either that or the dining room table, and I just preferred bed. And sometimes that would mean I'd have a baby or a toddler, you know, napping next to me or whatever.
Right.
And so anyway, I just got used to it. And now it's really hard for me to be like sitting erect at my desk writing something more creative. I'll find myself getting into my bed. Well, the problem is, after a little while, it's also very easy to get sleepy when you're sitting in bed with your legs up. So every now and then, I'll literally start to kind of keel over, and I'll tell Clara, I'm like, oh, nap attack. And she's like, and she'll just kind of pat me on the leg and go, okay, good night, Mom. And she'll go out of my room and shut my door.
That is the greatest.
But that's what happens when you have big kids.
Yeah.
My kid is actively putting me to sleep.
I love it.
I mean, just imagine that when you have a baby.
I know. Oh,
my gosh. All the people with babies right now are at home like, grumble. I hate you. I know. But just take heart.
Sleep, lady.
It will be you soon, I promise.
Yes. I love it. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to summarize because we've been all over the place on track.
Yeah.
I'm going to summarize first because I think we've been all over the map, including nap drool and nap attack. But I think a few things that might be helpful is to think in weeks, or that helps me think in maybe not a week, but think in a bigger picture about what kind of routine works for you, because it may not need to be the same thing every day. But if you know that your energy patterns are great in the morning, you can look at your week and put things in. And this is true whether you're outside the home or at home, put things in that require that energy in the morning. So paying attention to your natural energy patterns, thinking of routines and rhythms, maybe at the week or even month, or like you said, seasonal level, like you get big bursts of energy and then fall off the,
can I expand on that really quick? Like we talked about with the sports parent episode was like mm-hmm. 17 or 18, 18 maybe. Mm-hmm. Where I was saying like, I've just kind of resigned myself to the idea that from now on until, you know, my last sporty kid has left the house, looks like September through November are going to be mm-hmm. a little chaotic, very busy, mm-hmm. A time when my evenings are not my own the way I like them to be.
Right.
And then it's going to be holidays, and that's going to be, you know, kind of high intensity nesting / nurturing mm-hmm. / celebrating. And then we're going to go into slothy winter mode. And that's when I'm going to get to be a homebody again. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that, but I'm trying not to wish away what we have now, because it's pretty fun. You know, it's like, it's just fun in a different way.
Right.
And as that changes, my routine's going to change. You know, maybe right now, like there's like a class I really want to take at the Y, and it's in an evening, which is kind of, it's hard to take an evening class, to justify taking an mm-hmm. evening fitness class when your days are your own anyway.
Right.
But it's really hard to do it when your kids are really busy in the evening. So that might have to wait till slothy winter times.
Right.
Or maybe that's a summer thing. I mean, it's just, there's different times of the year, and I don't have to keep the same thing all year round, or even more than, you know, 2 or 3 months. Like I can kind of go in fits and starts. And that works with not only my energy patterns, but it works with the way my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, I have these bursts of energy and like ideas, and then I kind of want to just fall off the face of the earth for a while.
Right. So. No, I think we tend to think of routines as daily, but I think paying attention to the more kind of seasonal and other kinds of ebbs and flows can really help.
Yeah.
Let's see, what other nuggets did we have? Be patient if you're a new mom, and someday you too will have naps and or get up earlier than your early rising children. And I think the common routine advice that we hear a lot, if it doesn't work for you, don't sweat it, I think, because you and I both have things like that. I don't pack lunches at night. I don't do the dishes right away, and I'm not very productive during naps. Well, I guess I work during naps, but I know there's some people who feel like that, you know, nap time is their time to get the house picked up or rest, or I often am, you know, I'm all over the map during nap time. So I guess if those things aren't working for you, it's okay. That seems to be a common theme with us. So a couple more things
I want to address the packing lunches thing.
Yes.
I also, and I, you know, even though I do have more energy at night than you do, I don't like to do that stuff at night because I feel like I'm winding down. I've already cleaned everything up, or the kids have cleaned mm-hmm. the kitchen and it's done. The kitchen's closed. Did your parents have that rule when you were growing up?
I think so.
The kitchen is closed, and I'm not really, you know, I'm not legalistic about it. Like if a kid wants to wander in the kitchen and get themselves a snack, fine, but I'm not preparing food after a certain time of night. And I don't want stuff all over the counters, you know, it's done. So for me, I started doing lunches either right when the kids get home from school and we're all sitting around talking and like looking over paperwork anyway, or while I'm making dinner. And it just makes so much more sense. Like the kitchen's really already smart. In play, right? So food is already being prepared. There's always that downtime where you're waiting for something to finish cooking, or you're waiting for the water to boil. That's when, if you're having a hard time with early mornings or late nights for packing, do it then.
That's really smart. Another lunch, this is, we're again going off topic, but another lunch packing routine that I love that was from Tish of Simple Mama like years ago is if you have school age children and a toddler at home, pack the toddler's lunch or snacks at the same time.
That's a like fantastic idea.
One of the single most genius, it doesn't have to be a whole lunch. It depends on what Violet and I are doing that day. Like today she's with a sitter and I actually did pack her a whole lunch. The sitter takes her to the park and it's a little early for lunchtime, but then when she comes home, if she didn't eat it, she can just have it for lunch. But even if it's not a full lunch, if they're just home with you all day, cutting up apples and putting them in a container or a sandwich, it's so smart. I remember reading that and being like, duh, like, why didn't I think of that? So it's another, little off topic tip.
One little tidbit I think that kind of came out of what we were talking about as well, was when I was talking about sort of when you do have little kids at home and what I always found was helpful. And I think you might've touched on this in a different podcast episode too, was sort of like, divide your time between stuff for me and stuff for them. Because I feel like when you take a few minutes to pay some attention or engage with them, the little ones, they pay you back by letting you have a few minutes to yourself. And so I always found it easier to stagger, you know, my stuff with their stuff rather than try to like get a whole morning of mom stuff done.
Yes.
And then spend the whole afternoon with the 2-year-old or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And I think back to that cleaning up the kitchen or prepping dinner, I often use that time as a time to connect with the older kids because they're not as needy and I can really listen and engage with them and be even eye to eye with them sitting at the counter and be doing emptying the dishwasher. So like for that's a place where I can still be doing something for me per se, but it's their time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Rather than doing that when I'm by myself.
So I want to talk about, before we go, and I know we've got to wrap up here soon, I think we've talked a lot about routines, but we didn't talk as much about rhythms and rituals. And I guess, especially, well, we talked a little bit about rhythms, but rituals I think are a totally different thing, right? And I feel like that's the kind of thing that gives my day structure. And I had to laugh when you were talking about your coffee, because I drink tea, which I know isn't as caffeinated as coffee, but I've always thought part of my, the reason I drink tea in the morning is because I'm getting a caffeine boost. And, you know, I drink, I can't remember if it's Twinings or Bigelow. One of them has like the English breakfast is a red bag.
It says Twinings, I think.
Yeah. The decaf looks exactly like it. And I drank decaffeinated tea for like 2 months.
And didn't realize?
Didn't realize it. Thought I was drinking the regular stuff and still had the same boost from it. And I think what that taught me, I learned something that day. It just taught me that maybe, you know, the chemical fix, while I think is definitely part of it, especially with coffee, which is a lot stronger, that you cannot underestimate the power of that ritual and how that sets up your day or your evening. I don't know if you have anything at night that you do.
Yeah, well, I don't have my glass of wine until the kids are in bed, not for any kind of self-deprivation, except that I just want to enjoy it more. And if it was at dinner, I just wouldn't be paying attention. And again, broken record, my kids go to bed pretty early, so I look forward to that. And on the weeknights, I usually just have one healthy size glass. And on the weeknights, I don't know if I said weekends, but yes, that's absolutely ritual. And I also usually have something sweet, and that's part of, and that's like totally, we didn't talk about evening rituals as much or evening routines, but you know, when the kids are down, we watch our shows together. Right now we're watching House of Cards, no spoilers, please, on Netflix. And we both have he has a cocktail, I have a glass of wine. And usually at the halfway point, he pauses, gets a refill for himself and gets chocolate for me. So it's very nice. And I never, it's funny, Brian's been traveling all week. And I didn't have ice cream all week because he always gets it for me.
You're like, I'm not going to do that.
I'm like, well, I don't even know what I would do. Yeah. And that's funny because when he travels, I have a totally different ritual. I watch Call the Midwife from my bed with my glass of wine in my bed. So
when John is gone, I get in bed super early. And I don't even have a glass of wine because I just get in bed so early and I've just kind of made it a personal.
Oh, I bring my glass of wine to the night.
I've done that. I mean, I definitely am not against that.
I still brush my teeth. I get up and brush my teeth.
I'm not against that at all. It's just when I'm in bed for some reason, like I'll forget it's there. Like I'll forget to drink it. I don't know. It's not the same experience for me. So I just often will just go to bed with a book. But it's so – this is teaching me, again, another teachable moment. But it just kind of illustrates – how much we peg certain things to other things. So for me, getting in bed early equals book. Or maybe getting online and just screwing around, like reading or reading a magazine or something. And for me, when John's home equals glass of wine and TV. Mm-hmm. So we're watching right now. Well, we've got a couple different shows. We're watching old episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is so hilarious and wrong and just silly. I mean, it's like the episodes are 22 minutes long, so it's no investment at all. And Veep, we kind of go off on
that Veep.
So anyway, it's just funny how like, when he's home, I do things this way. When he's not home, I do things a different way because you get your rituals change as your circumstances change.
Yeah. And I think evenings especially are something to look forward to. So if you don't like your evening ritual or it's not, if you're, you know, someone who feels really kind of tired and beaten down at the end of the day, I'm thinking about our episode 3 when we talked about media habits, which is one of our, people keep coming back to that episode. If you're kind of mindlessly Facebooking and it's not, you know, it's not a fun indulgence and it's just sort of draining you at the end of the night, I think evenings can be a really good place to add something good back into your routine, whether it's like a really nice glass of wine or a book or a new show that you love. I mean, I really look forward, even though I'm not a night person, I'm very attached to those evening rituals. Again, you know, whether he's out of town or in town, it's different, but
I want to make one more point about the evening for people who are night people. Mm-hmm. And I count myself among that, you know, I can definitely, there is a switch in me. And if I am around the right people and sitting upright and have the right environment, I can be up until 5 a.m. Like I could just go and go and go. Like I'll hit my second wind and then my third wind and then it just never stops. And what I've noticed, like a troubling pattern that I've seen with people, with moms, but you know, just women in general, who don't get enough sleep at night, it's often because they feel like because they get that burst of energy, they they're obligated to use it. Mm-hmm. And the way I trained myself out of being someone who stays up late every night just because I could is to go to bed, you know, or like wind down. I look at my evenings now. That's not to say I never work at night. Of course I do sometimes. Right. And I'll often do things like make my grocery list or make it to, I always make my to-do list the night before because my brain is more in tune with all the things I need to do. Mm-hmm. The next day, if I start in the morning, I'm like, it's like starting over. I can't even remember what I was working on. But I do not, like, I don't stay up late cleaning. I don't stay up late working on mentally taxing projects. I used to, and I just found that what would happen was I'd never stop. It would never shut off. And there was never that point at which I felt like now is my time to just relax. So now, you know, 9 o'clock or so, and the kids are in bed, I really make an effort and a point. You know, if I have something I have to take care of, I'll do it. But at some point, it's like, now it's time for me to put my pajamas on and lay down. Or now it's time for me to hang out with John and watch TV. Or whatever the thing is I'm doing that night, it starts early. And when it does, I fall asleep early. It doesn't, you know, I'm not like doomed to stay up until 2 a.m. every night just because I could get a burst of energy at 1. I don't have to. I could just go to sleep. So if you're finding yourself in that position, you know, maybe just leave the dishes undone one night and see how going to bed early makes you feel in the morning. Right. Earlier than you would have.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I like that.
Anyway. Oh. Gosh, we were just all over the place with this one, Sarah, but sometimes those are the most fun.
I know. I think so.
We didn't have much of a routine for our routine show, but that's okay.
What's our podcast recording routine? It is. It's part of our Friday rhythm. I like it.
Yes. Yes, it's part of my Friday rhythm. I love it. And I'm really happy because Sarah has kept me on track with it. And you know, it's my natural inclination, Sarah, to set an appointment and then blow it off. But I didn't because you make me come. You make me show
I know
because
I am the boss of all of the schedules. I love it. I want to say we've gotten some great feedback and emails about last episode, which was number 19. If for some reason you're stumbling upon us right now, that one really resonated with new moms. If you listen to it and you know a new mom, send it their way. Or if you loved it, let us know. So every once in a while, there seems to be one that's resonating and that makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. And we're glad that it helped. All the episodes are at themomhour.com. You can always email us at hello@themomhour.com. So thanks everybody for listening and telling us what you think and giving us new ideas. Anything from your end, Megan?
No, I think I just am loving the emails we're getting. It really makes our day when we get comments and emails because otherwise this could be a very one way sort of.
And I think we've chosen to make this podcast more conversational and we don't have a checklist of tips we're giving you. We're trying to talk through things in our own lives in the hopes that there's something that helps. So when you tell us it helps, or when you tell us that you're nodding along or laughing at us, it actually does help because sometimes I think it's a little scary to go in just saying we're going to talk about this and see where it goes, but that's what we've chosen to do because it's fun for us. And so when you tell us you like it, It helps.
It does. Well, this is a great episode 20. It seems momentous. I'm really excited that you guys are all here and riding along with us. And we will be back in a week.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Bye.